Good morning, church. So good to be with you in worship. I hope you guys are doing well. Also, just want to say happy Mother's Day. I am celebrating with many of you, and yet I also recognize and acknowledge that this day is rather difficult for many of us, especially for those who long to be mothers, for those who've lost their mothers, for those who've lost a child, or even whose relationship with their moms are not quite what they hoped they would be. Just want you to know that wherever you find yourself today, I am praying for you and praying much peace and comfort upon you. I also just want to give thanks for all of the women in this church and how they nurture many of us in the faith here at Revolution, for how they mediate God's love and grace in everything they do. I am grateful for the women who lead in this church, for the mothers of our faith, and I give thanks to God for you today. So we're continuing with our teaching series called Resurrecting Me, in which we are looking at the encounters with Christ after his resurrection and asking, how does Jesus transform lives? And what can the resurrection of Christ mean for me today? This morning, we find ourselves back in John chapter 20. I know we've been here for a while. I promise we're at the end of it now, the end of John chapter 20. To explore how Jesus shows up for the disciple Thomas and transforms his doubt. So this is John chapter 20, the end of that chapter. We've been in John now for almost 12 weeks through Lent as well, so you should be so proud of yourselves for how thoroughly you have studied the book of John. And so we round it out today with John 20, verses 24 through 31. I invite you, wherever you are, to read along with me. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This story is most famously known as the encounter with the doubting Thomas, the disciple who does not believe the accounts of the resurrection until he has seen Christ with his very own eyes. Almost, it seems, demanding proof to touch the marks on Jesus' hands and side. It's important to note this is not the first time that we have met Thomas in the Gospel of John. In fact, it's the third. We saw in John chapter 11, after Jesus and the disciples heard of the death of Lazarus, it was Thomas who encouraged the other disciples to go with Jesus to Bethany. He says, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." As if to say, let's go, so we can see, so we can witness and really understand what Jesus is up to. And then in John chapter 14, Jesus tells the disciples that he will go and prepare a place for them. It was Thomas who asked, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" When he didn't understand what Jesus was saying, it was Thomas who was brave enough to ask. I will never forget the teacher who taught me to never stop asking questions. She used to say, "If you stop asking, then you stop learning." Seventh grade math class, Crosby Middle School. Nobody asked questions in fear of being wrong or looking stupid. In fact, I remember a specific day where I was very lost and confused, and I did ask a question. But I was so embarrassed and felt so foolish, assuming that the silence of my peers meant that they were brighter or far more advanced than me. After I asked the question, the teacher encouraged everyone, "Any more questions? If you don't start asking," she said, "you will never know." So here's a word of encouragement for all of our teacher friends here at Revolution. At the end of this week of teacher appreciation, the work you are doing is important and you are making a difference. I think we know that now better than ever before with all of these NTI days teaching at home. But man, the work of teachers, I may not remember much about seventh grade math, but this teacher taught me a very valuable, important life lesson that I should never be afraid or ashamed to ask a question. And you know, this is the same lesson, a good lesson that can be applied to our faith today. We must never stop asking questions. Our faith, our God, is big enough to handle our deepest doubts, questions, musings, wonderments. Wrestling with the mystery of God leads us to deeper questioning, deeper engagement, deeper study, which we'd hope leads us to deeper experiences with God and deeper faith. Seek and you shall find, Scripture says. We might be tempted from time to time to think that doubt is the opposite of faith, or in order to really believe something, we need hard evidence. The facts are empirical, you know, rational. Answers must be deduced logically, way of thinking. But maybe doubt and faith really go hand in hand, because doubt can drive me further into the mystery of God. The word used for doubt here in the Greek is apistos, or unbelieving. Pistos is believing, of course, the noun pistis for faith. And so many scholars have noted here that maybe a better translation of Jesus' words, "do not doubt," would better be understood as "do not be unbelieving, but believing." This story is not about doubt and skepticism, but it is already about the grounds of faith for believing that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. To be sure, Jesus does not shame Thomas here for asking questions before, when he asked about the way. And he does not shame Thomas now, here in our passage this morning, for stating what he needs to believe. One could argue that he is only asking for what the disciples had already experienced themselves before, when Jesus appeared to them behind locked doors and gave them peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thomas wasn't with them then. We're not sure why. We don't know where Thomas was. But Thomas wasn't with them and only desires now for the same experience that they had. Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus and said, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples encountered Jesus and said, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas only wants the same thing, to see the Lord. How many of you, how many times have I wanted to see the Lord? Thomas doesn't need hard proof or facts. What he needs in this moment is a personal encounter with the resurrected Christ in order to believe. His words, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Those words may feel like a demand for proof, but in fact, Thomas's confession of faith, when he says, "My Lord and my God," that comes not after touching Jesus, but after seeing Jesus and hearing his words of invitation. Jesus appears and stands before Thomas and offers himself. And Thomas responds to this offer, to Jesus' outstretched hands, for Jesus willing to give him what he needs out of this extreme love and care for his friend and disciple Thomas. He doesn't confess after touching Jesus for proof. He confesses after seeing Jesus' love and grace poured out for him in this invitation to show up and give him what he needs. Acknowledging and crying out this highest Christological confession of faith in the whole gospel that acknowledges that he has seen the fullness of the glory of God now revealed in Christ the Son. So maybe this story isn't about the doubt of Thomas at all. Maybe it's about Jesus' willingness to show up in the moments of our deepest uncertainty and give us exactly what we need to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Thomas says, unless I see, I need to see. And we know and we find that there is this theme of seeing throughout the whole Gospel of John. There's a play between light and darkness and the light of the world coming into the darkness. There are miracles that happen which people witness, which offer signs to a deeper meaning of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And even the word sight or to see is used multiple times, over 20 times throughout the gospel, to mean anything from physical sight to understanding and comprehension, as in, I see your point. John 1 talks about the word becoming flesh. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The true light coming to all, so that all might see and believe and know and understand that Jesus is Lord. So maybe then this verse 9 from chapter 1 of John might help us understand verse 29 in our passage this morning, which says, Jesus asks Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Again, this is not Jesus shaming Thomas for not being able to believe without seeing him. But it's in reference to all those who will come to faith later without physically seeing Jesus' resurrected body. Jesus is referring to all of those millions of believers over the next thousands of years who will come to the faith after his ascension, believers like you and me. And how will they come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah without physically seeing Jesus, without having this physical encounter with Jesus Christ? How can this happen? I love how one scholar, Martin Copenhagen, puts it. He says, we did not see or touch. We were not there. We heard. Someone told us the story in a way that invited us to say yes. We heard someone say something, perhaps a small something that spoke to us, as if calling our name from depth to depth. There was a sermon, a passage, a prayer. We heard. We heard the story of the gospel. From the scriptures that are living and breathing and active, maybe from a pastor, from a friend, from a song. And through that testimony of the story, Jesus showed up for us. The truth of Jesus Christ revealed to us. We experienced the Christ through the love and witness of one another. And in that hearing of the story of the gospel, we experienced, we understood, and therefore came to see and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus continues to show up for us today again and again in our deepest moments of doubt and questioning and uncertainty to offer us the assurance of his presence, which we can't experience in many ways. And he shows up and he offers us exactly what we need in order to believe. You know, this has been true in my own life as Jesus has shown up again and again for me to give me that assurance. But it was especially true in one of my deepest seasons of doubt in college when I was wrestling with a call to full-time ministry. I remember specifically one day as a freshman in college toward the end. At the time, I was enrolled as a pre-nursing major, so I didn't quite know what a life in full-time ministry would look like. So I had taken all of the science and all the anatomy classes. I had even become a certified nurse assistant and gone through that training so I could gain more experience. And then my plan was to work as a CNA that summer. But you know, the closer I got to the end of that spring semester, and the more I prepared to apply for nursing school the following year, something just felt off. The anxiety and the fear and the doubt, it just kept building and building until one day in my dorm room, I sort of fell down in prayer and I asked, God, what do you want from me? What is going on? I laid out all of my fears, all of these doubts and questions that I had been bottling up about full-time ministry. Questions like, but what about nursing school? What now? Where would I even go to school to study religion and ministry? Will my parents be disappointed? But I'm too young to be a pastor. I can't. And then, God, what will my friends think about me becoming a pastor? They're going to act so weird around me. You know, they did for a couple of months, and then they got over it. It was okay. But you know what happened that night? That sort of boiling point for me? Christ showed up. I felt this peace wash over me, this certainty that I needed to work at Camp Lucon that summer. Not as a CNA, but at church camp. Y'all know that I grew up going to Lucon, so it was sort of always in the back of my mind that that could be a possibility, or in the spring I would start to think about camp. It wasn't really on my radar until then. I had this real personal encounter of Jesus showing up in my moment of deepest doubt and need, and giving me this sense of peace and assurance. God did not part the skies and reveal the next 5 years of my life. You will go to Duke Divinity School. You will marry Matt. You will be ordained. No, but God gave me the next right thing, my next step of faithfulness. And you know what? Over the course of several years, Christ continued to show up for me again and again in the friends that I met at camp who encouraged my faith and my calling. Christ showed up in the mentors I met who developed my sense of Christian leadership. Christ showed up in my time working as a hospital chaplain, where I learned how to sit in pain and grief and suffering with people and how to still have hope. Christ kept showing up in people, in prayers, and experiences, affirming this call and giving me assurance to keep taking these baby steps of faithfulness. Friends, this is what the journey of faith is. This is what resurrection looks like in our lives over time. Christ showing up to give us just what we need in our moments of deepest hours of questioning and doubt, transforming us with peace and presence and assurance. That is the love and grace of Christ to meet us where we are, to never give up on us, and to give us exactly what we need in those moments. He shows up for us not in a physical body, the way that we might think, where we can see his scars and touch his side, like for Thomas. But Christ shows up maybe in a prayer from a friend, in the meal from a neighbor, maybe in the guidance of a mentor, maybe in the encouraging word from a brother or sister in Christ, or that perfectly timed song that we needed just for that moment. When Christ no longer walks the earth, we can still experience the real presence of Christ through the love of one another. That is the body of believers, now the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Our faith has room for questions. Our faith has room for doubt, because Christ never stops showing up for us and offering us himself. Jesus resurrects our doubt and transforms it into this sense of assurance through his very love and his very presence. So I'm wondering for you, in this time of great doubt and uncertainty, where is Christ showing up? Where have you experienced the love of Christ recently? Where are you hearing the story? And where can you share this story of the gospel of Jesus Christ to mediate Christ's love and presence for someone else? Where can you share this story so that someone else might see, might understand, might come to believe? Someone else might become a child of God. If we have eyes to see and understand, our Easter eyes to see even now, we may find Christ showing up in the most powerful and profound and life-changing ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the way in which you never stop working in our lives, that you never give up on us, that you keep showing up. God, we pray that we might recognize you when you do, that we might experience your love and presence and power so that the doubt we are experiencing in the moment might be transformed into an assurance, into a trust that you love us, that you provide for us, that you work together the good for all those who love you. Lord, we give you thanks for this sense of abundant life that we experience in you. And we just pray for the eyes to see this week the ways that you are at work among us, that we might experience your resurrection, and that we might be transformed. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hi friends, Rachel here, coming to you after our time of Sunday recording to offer you a special announcement on where we are on reopening in-person worship at Revolution Church. We received some guidelines from the bishop's office late last week, and I just wanted to let you know that the staff and I and lead team are working hard to review those guidelines and to develop and implement our own plan for reopening worship as well as prepare the building. So we have ordered some necessary supplies and equipment that we're going to need because we know worship's going to look a little bit different for some time with limited capacity and wearing masks and social distancing while there, as well as disinfecting the building in between each service. And so we've ordered many of the supplies and equipment that we're going to need, and I hope that in the next week we will have a better idea of when these things will arrive so that we can tell you a firm date that we will be ready to open for worship. I know that we are restless, we're excited, we're so ready to see each other and to gather again, and we just want to make sure that we do this in the safest and healthiest way possible, especially for the most vulnerable among us. So I just want to say thank you for your presence virtually. I want to say thank you for your prayers and support, especially as we move to this new phase and make some decisions for how we will reopen worship as a church, knowing that our church has never been closed or canceled because we have continued to be the Revolution. So stay tuned. More will be coming within the next week, and I greatly appreciate you. Now we're going to do a little bit of time travel as we go back to hear our BTR.
Friends, it's been so good to worship with you all this morning. The Eastertide challenge continues here, living with Easter eyes. I've loved seeing and learning how some of you are finding peace and even in the midst of much fear. So now your challenge is, in times of your doubt and uncertainty, where are you finding assurance? That assurance in the presence and love of Christ. I'd love to hear from you this week. Maybe post about it, share this video, invite your friends to church. I hope you all have an awesome week, and let's go and be the Revolution. Amen.